My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to be studying again in 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be in chapter 4, and we're going to be dealing with the rapture at this time. Just look at 13. We went through a little bit of that in the last session, but we're going to get started with verses 13. Get your Bibles out and get your pencils and papers out and turn to your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13. It says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep," that means those that have already died, "that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope." See, we don't have to sorrow if our family who believe the gospel for their salvation, that they're not going to lose their salvation. They're going to be in heaven. They're going to be alive, see. We have that hope, see. We don't have to worry about it. We're going to see him again. Okay, verses 14. Now, this is a tremendously important verse. And Paul's the only one that teaches this. I mean, he's the only one. It was given to him by Jesus Christ as a revelation. It wasn't taught at all in Peter, James, and John's epistles. It wasn't taught in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It wasn't taught in the Old Testament. Only is taught in this Thessalonians and Corinthians. And this is given to Jesus, given to them from Christ himself. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," what's that? That's the gospel. If you believe the gospel, said, "even so, them who asleep in Jesus, even if they believe the gospel." You see, if they didn't believe the gospel when they died, they're not going to be with the Lord. And that's scary. Tremendously scary. But that's what the book says. This isn't what I said. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who all sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." See, everybody has to believe the gospel to be a member of this body of Christ. And Jesus is the one that told us that we had to. He's the one that gave the gospel to Paul. Galatians chapter 1:11, he said, "I didn't get this gospel from man, neither was I taught of it, man, but he gave from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus gave him the gospel to give to the church, and that's all he taught. He taught everybody in the whole world, virtually, at that time, the gospel. And he spent his whole life doing it, and he went through hell doing it. And that isn't saying a bad word, because that's exactly what he went through. It was awful. It says, "For this we say," and look what it says. He's talking about we, see. He's talking about the believers. "We say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep." In other words, God's going to come, see, with his angels, and he's going to come with all the believers that are in heaven, and those people that had died ahead of us, we're not going to precede them, because they're going to get their new bodies before we do, see. So it says, "We shall not precede them who are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of his archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means that those that have died already, they're going to rise first, and those bodies are going to come out of the grave, and the spirits that were in them from when they believed the gospel, that same spirit that was in Christ was in them, and it'll raise them from the dead, and they will be changed into a new glorious body, like Jesus' body. We're going to talk about that. But anyway, they shall rise first. And then verse 17 says, "Then we who are alive and remain," see, "shall be caught up unto together with them in the clouds." See, all of a sudden, we're going to be gone. And we're going to be changed also so fast that when we go, before we hit the ceiling, we'll have our new body, and we'll just go through it like when Jesus went to see the disciples in his resurrection body. He just was there. And then all of a sudden, he was just gone. He went right through the ceiling or the walls or whatever. He didn't walk into any doors. And before, in that twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, and I'm going to be out of here. And I'm not going to bump my head on the roof. No, I'll go right through it. Just because I'll have my new body that fast. and we're going to meet him in the clouds, and meet him in the clouds, and the Lord in the air, and so ever we be with the Lord. If people ask you, where are we going to be when we go to heaven? Wherever the Lord's at. There's no doubt in my mind. You see, we're his body. We're Christ's body. And he's the head. He isn't going to be away from his body. And when he comes down on this earth, his body is going to be with him. You see? We're going to always be with him. We are his. You know, and he lives in us. We're never going to be separated from God again, ever. We're going to see him physically. We're going to be with him physically. You see? And it's going to be wonderful. It's hard to even comprehend such a thing. He says, therefore, comfort one another of these things. So, we saw that. Now, let's just turn back to Philippians. I mean, I told you about we're going to have a new body like his glory body. Just turn to Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's look at this. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second we're in heaven, that's the first thing we're going to be looking for. Jesus, there's no doubt about that. He who shall change our lowly bodies, that's this old body that I have here, and it will be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the workings by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to have a new glorious body like Jesus' body, his resurrection body. See? It's just, and we'll go everywhere, and we'll be able to stand before God himself, you see, because if we did that, we'd just melt away. He's so powerful, we can't even comprehend it. You know, when God makes this new heavens and new earth, it talks about it in around 21 Revelations, in that vicinity, in chapter. But he talks about this new heaven and new earth, and he's going to be on that heaven and earth. And just his presence alone, the God's presence. We'll have our new glorified bodies that time. We'll be able to stand his presence. But his presence alone will light up that whole earth. It'll light the whole earth up, for it'll never be dark, and we won't have to have a sun. It'll be just the presence of God. That's how magnificent he is. I mean, and this earth may be 100 times bigger than it is now. He's going to make a whole new heavens and earth, totally, for us. And there will be the reason why he's going to do that, I heard a pastor tell me, or a teacher, said he really believes the reason why he's going to have to redo this earth and heaven, because any place where Satan has ever touched is going to be redone. There's not going to be any trace of him or his acts whatsoever in this new heavens and new earth. He'll never exist ever again. And everything that he's botched up on this earth is going to be made totally new. And the glory of God will light that whole heaven. Think how wonderful it is. Think about having this new body. I'm an old man, and I'm looking forward to it. I wear glasses. You see, I have false teeth. I have hearing aids on, you know. And I've got a bad back, and I've got bad hips, you know. And I have a colostomy because I lost half of my guts in cancer. And I'm a mess. You see, but look what's going to happen to me in a twinkling of an eye. This old body is going to be done away with, and I'm going to have a resurrection body like Jesus' glorious body. And you will too, if you believe the gospel, see. But that's the whole key to the whole thing, is to put your faith in the gospel. And the churches aren't teaching it. Now look where it's at again. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn back to the left to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's look at verses 51. Here's another account of this rapture. And this is tremendous. This is tremendous. Look at what it says. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And we will be changed. See, the dead is going to be raised up incorruptible. See, they're corrupt now. But when they come out of that grave, they're going to be incorruptible. They're going to have their new glorified bodies, see. And we shall be changed, you know. And we will come from, go, and it says, for this corruption, what we have now, will put on incorruption. See, this old body of ours is corrupt. It's falling apart, see, like my old body. But it's going to put on incorruption. And its mortal body that I have will put on immortality. That means it's never going to die, see. It's never going to die. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, swallowed up in victory. See, there was no death anymore. You see, we're going to be immortal forever. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice who it said? It didn't say in Jesus Christ. It says through him. It's through his work on the cross, you see. It wasn't in believing in Jesus Christ. It was through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what he went through, he had to die for our sins. And he did. He took on a human body, and he was perfect. And he went to the cross and paid the last sacrifice. The last sacrifice for sin, and he paid for every sin that was on this, for everybody, from Adam, the last person on this planet, the last person, he paid their sins, and all he asked you to do is believe what he did. That's the gospel. You just got to believe he did it. That's it. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried. Of course he was buried, he was dead, but he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, it just means that we will also. That's just how wonderful it is. It means that we will also rise from the dead. So, you know, these are wonderful verses and something that we can look forward to. And it's tremendous, tremendous. And let me show you something when I say how important it is that we look forward to this. Let's turn over, keep your hand here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then, but let's turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and let's look at the last chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this 2 Timothy letter was written. This was the last letter that Paul wrote, because he was in prison, and he was in Rome, and Nero was ahead then, and he was gonna, his head was cut off. That's the only way they stopped him from teaching the gospel, is to cut his head off. He, no matter where he was at, he was always teaching the gospel. So look what it is. Look at here in verse 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord and the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not only me, but unto all of them who love his appearing. Did these Thessalonians, were loved the appearing of Jesus? How many times did they talk about Jesus coming in the rapture? Several times before he talked about the rapture to us. They were all grounded in the rapture, and they was looking forward for his coming. And that's what we do. You see, if I don't get any... You see, I spent a whole life of works that I want to watch all burn up because I wasn't saved, see. I worked hard for what I thought was my salvation, see. And I would be rewarded for the works that I did. I was involved in church up to my ears my whole life. I had church in my house for 18 years, three times a week, see. And I was always faithful to the church. But, see, it all went to naught. Because, see, I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't saved. I didn't believe the gospel for my salvation. You see? And so, right now, all I got is this. I'm going to get this crown. Everything else is going to burn up. But I'm going to have a crown because I've always was looking forward to his appearing. I always look and I do today. I hope it's today. I hope it's right now. I'd love it to just come boom right out of this chair, right up to my ceiling in my house, and I would be with the Lord. How wonderful that would be. So if we love His appearing, He says we have a crown also for us, a crown of righteousness that will be given. Think about that. How wonderful. You see, I'm not going to go up there empty-handed after all, am I? You see, because I've got a crown of righteousness already, just because I'm looking forward for Him, for His coming. And you will too. Everybody will that looks at it that way. So that's the rapture, and that's wonderful. I just love it. I just love it. So let's move on to chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in a kind of a whole different thought here in a second. It says, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." You see, "For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And look what that is. What is the day of the Lord? Well, I'll answer that question right away so you know what I'm talking about. This is the tribulation. This is the tribulation that has been taught all through the Old Testament, because the Jews always knew, because of all their evil deeds, that they're going to have to spend a time called Jacob's Trouble. And that's going to be for 7-year period, where God's going to come down with His wrath on this world and to chastise those who turn their back on Him. And I mean to tell you, He's going to come hard. And this is one place we don't want to be. But we don't have to worry about it, you see. We're not going to be here. We're not going to be here. We looked at chapter 12, Romans chapter 11, I mean, and verses 25. It said, it tells us that when that we, that time figure there, that we won't know anything about this until we are taken out, and then God's going to come and deal with the Jews and the unbelievers. It's called the day of the Lord, and that's the rapture, and it's talked about quite amount. And it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction to come upon them, and travail upon a woman, like travail upon a woman and a child, and they shall not escape." You notice what they said? They used the pronoun they. You see, before when we were talking to rapture, it was we. We, see, it was always we. We who are alive. We will ever be with the Lord. But now He's talking they, see. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about the unbelievers, they. And so we're not involved in this whatsoever. And so let's read a little bit about this, and let's turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And where Zechariah is, you go to Matthew. We've been there before, I think, but just look at it again. Zechariah chapter 13. Just before Matthew, you got Malachi and then Zechariah. And let's look at verses. We're going to take it verses 1 through 9. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and they shall spoil, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and that the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into a captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as who has fought in the day of battle." You see, this is tremendous. And if you really want to deal with the tribulation and understand what it's really like, we'd get in the Bible and we'd be studying Revelations. But I really don't care that much about Revelations. You know, I don't care about that because I'm not going to be there. I know it's going to be horrible. I've studied Revelation. Yes, I have. And I've read it several times. And it's horrible. And if the people could understand what's ahead of them, they just don't understand. And they don't really care. But everybody is going to be tremendous. I mean, I think that the population of this world is going to go to almost zero. It's going to be just devastated. totally. And only I think the largest nation of this world will be the Jewish nation, because there's at least going to be 5 million of them that survive. But there's going to be billions of the rest of the people that won't survive. And then when Jesus comes back, and we're going to talk about, we won't talk about that much now, but when we get to 2 Thessalonians, when he comes back, he's going to cleanse what's left over. See? Because when he starts his rule and reign on this earth during the millennium, there's not going to be any person alive on this earth that's not a believer. You see, and there's going to be a lot of people that survive this thing. Not a lot, but what's left is going to be gone. I mean, he's going to kill them. He's going to take them out of here. And because this is, he is going to cleanse this earth till it's all unbelievers. And only people that are going to be on this earth when the millennium starts are believers. And so this is going to be horrible. And the whole structure of the earth is going to be changed. There's no doubt about it. It's only totally going to be changed. Now, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. And let's look at it. Let's see, where should we start? Let's just say, let's start at 15, verses 15. It says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by David the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." You see, when this abomination person, he's the Antichrist, when he comes in, he stands in the holy place. He says, "Let the reader himself understand. Then let them who are in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him who are in the houses come not down to take away things out of this house. Just get out of there. Neither let him who is in the field return back to take his clothes. Go right where from you're at. It's that important. And woe unto them who are in child, and who are those who are nursed children in those days. And pray that your flight not be in the winter, or neither on the Sabbath day." It's going to be horrible. It says, verse 21, "For then such a great tribulation, such was not since beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except for those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened." You see, this is a horrible time. But this is the time when God has set back. Now we live in the day of grace. And he's watching all the things that are happening down there. And he's paid the sin for every one of us. And everybody has totally turned away from him. Now the churches have. They've totally apostatized the churches. And they pointed to Jesus for salvation. And it's not Jesus for salvation. We realize now it's the gospel for salvation. And Jesus was the gospel. He died on that cross. And he paid for the sin. Sure, we believe in Jesus, but we believe the way Jesus wants us to believe. He didn't point to his name. He pointed to what he did, and what he did on that cross is what paid for our sins. And it's been told a horrible amount of time, just time after time through these epistles, showing us what salvation is. But the churches, they don't have nothing to do with Paul's epistles. They go direct to Peter, James, and John, and that's Satan's doing it. They go right to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he knows there's no salvation there for the church. He knows that. And all the churches, that's all they preach. They don't preach Paul's epistles. And that's why the churches are in the way they're in right now. It's really, really horrible. So, this is what we call the day of the Lord. And so don't get it mixed up, you see. The day of Christ is different. That's when Jesus comes back, see, to take us out of the rapture. That's the day of Christ. But the day of the Lord is this tribulation period, see. And they say, and then look at verse 4. We're talking about chapter 5, Thessalonians, verse 4. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, and the day will not overtake you like a thief. Ye are all sons of light and sons of day, and we are not in the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others. Let us not watch. But let us watch and be sober-minded. For they who sleep in the night, and they that drink, they drink in the night. But let us who are in a day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and helmet and the hope of salvation. See, that's what we do. You see, that's what we do. Now look at this next verse. It says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. See, we're not dealing in this tribulation. God has not appointed us to wrath. When somebody comes and tells you, oh yeah, the church is going to go through at least the first half of the tribulation. No, we're not. The Bible says no. It says right here, God hath not, we've just been talking about the tribulation, but he just says, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You see what it said? By. You see, it's by what he did on that cross that saved us. It doesn't say in believing in Lord Jesus Christ. It says by our Lord Jesus Christ. What he did on that cross, it's what he did that saved us, see, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, that we should live together with him. That's the gospel. He pointed to the gospel several times, see. It was by the Lord Jesus, what he did on that cross, and who died for us. You see, that's where our faith is, to what he did, see. But the churches don't teach that, see. They don't teach that. And because of that, they're condemned, every one of them, and it's just horrible. Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And he said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and all over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works, and in peace among yourselves, and that we exhort you, brethren, and warn you that the unruly warn them that are unruly, encourage and faint-hearted, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. Patient toward all men, and see that none of us render evil for evil unto any man, but unto follower that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice always, evermore, it says. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, it says. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Holy Spirit. We've got to stop here, our time constraint. But this is wonderful. We're going to finish this up, and we'll go right into 2 Thessalonians the next time. And we're going to start right here, and let us pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have to teach this gospel. And I just pray that people will understand how important it is. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.